You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. They get amazing odds boosts every single day. AJ, Rudo, and Blaze coming to you live as the Avs win over the Vegas Golden Knights 3-0. You know, it wasn't that difficult. I don't think it was the easiest game ever played, but the Avs kind of just took care of business. It was a good game.
Makes it pretty easy when you start off 14 seconds into the game.
Avs led for 99% of this hockey game. It's something like that. So definitely does help. We got the 60-second rundown to get to here for you, so let's hit that. Isn't a New York minute an hour?
Three, two, one.
As they said, Mikko Rantanen scores 15 seconds into this game off of a not really that much of an oopsie from Aiden Hill, honestly. It's just a sick play from Mikko. And then the rest of the first period, the first 10, Vegas kind of dominates. They outshoot the Avs 10-2, but the period ends 11-10, 10-10 in shots in the Avs' favor. So the second half, much more control from Colorado. The second period, the Avs kind of just do what they do and start taking care of business. Great play from Georgiev behind them. They go through the second period. Mikko decides that he likes scoring goals and gets another one because why not? He's Mikko Rantanen, and he can do that. Fantastic feed from JT Compher to create that one. The Avs continue to play effective shutdown hockey in through the third period. The first 10, Vegas really gets almost nothing in the third. And the game kind of just peters out as the Avs get the empty netter to make it 3-0 and take down the dub for six games in a row.
Dude, Mikko was a whole vibe tonight. Oh my goodness, that guy was on his BS.
Even when he wasn't scoring, like he was doing some nonsense top to bottom all the way around. The first goal... AJ, you joked about it on the watch along. Was Mikko a baseball player in another life? Or
I mean, you see all the time, like what good hand eye coordination he has. You know, when you see they'll throw like a puck in transition, they'll throw it off the ice, and Mikko just
whacks that thing.
Yeah, he did it multiple times tonight. And why Aiden Hill doesn't, like, you watch the replay and you see Alec Martinez is like right there, and you're like. Just give it to him. Like, if he loses that battle, then okay, he loses that battle.
You get back into your net at least.
Yeah, you don't just
give a puck away.
But that's like a standard goalie play right there, right?
I mean, is it? I think the standard play would be to just rim it, probably.
Yeah. But I think he just didn't think Mikko was a threat, and he was trying to throw it to somebody up the boards there.
I don't think he'll think that again.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
That does end up being the game-winning goal. So
weird too, because like that's a guy that like they kind of need. Like Vegas doesn't, like, who's their game one starter right now when the postseason opens?
Don't know.
Very true.
You know, because like Logan Thompson had a really good start
and then cooled heavily.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, injuries once again kicked up, and Laurent Brossoit got healthy and they tried him out, you know, okay, a couple of good games, and Aiden Hill's played pretty well. Aiden Hill played well in this game. Aiden Hill was good in this game.
Yeah.
It's just that he starts the game off, like,
puts them in a hole.
I'm always like, look, like, it's never, like, it's almost never, like, solely one guy's fault, but of course, everybody on the ice is looking at the goalie going, what the Jesus, like, what was that? You know, like, what are you doing, man? And puts himself behind the eight ball because now his team has to chase and his job gets harder. And because now the next goal that he gives up is either a 2-0 goal or it's a 2-1 goal or, you know, whatever, yeah, whatever it might be. But it's like he does not even get into the game.
Yep.
That's the first shot that happens. He's not even in the net for it. And, you know, that guy's trying to win a job. He's trying to stake a claim here to a position on the West top team
and you
at the moment.
For now.
Yeah.
For another couple days at least.
Yeah, for the next few days until Colorado rightfully ascends
to
its place. Yeah.
Let's go.
Well, and you flip that and look at the guy he's going against directly tonight. And Georgiev's first 10 minutes of the game are impeccable.
Yeah, he's on
phenomenal.
You know, they have score. They get one more shot on net, and then they get outshot 10-2.
Yep.
I mean, that's great. Basically, what is that, 10 minutes of play from Vegas right there at the beginning of it? Because you shake a goalie 14 seconds into the game, and if you go down there and you just lay waste to a goalie, put another 6-7 shots mm-hmm. in that time frame in, he's probably going to let another one in because he's in his own head already, right? So,
yeah.
It's a great pushback by
Vegas.
It was Vegas.
A great response. And and like that kind of response was why you have the conversation and say, this is why Vegas is a problem.
Yeah.
Like that's this game ends 3-0. The Avs lead 59 minutes and 46 seconds of this game. The Avs led it, but
crazy.
You really truly are talking about like this was a very good hockey game. One or two different things happen, you know.
Well, I think
Vegas continues a season long trend of no power plays. Not that their power play is very good. But did they have one in this
they
game?
They had one.
Just the
and
one.
The Avs had the weird
You're right,
one.
Just the one.
Yeah.
And that was it in terms of power. Like, very limited special teams opportunities. They had to figure it out at 5-on-5, and they played a good game at 5-on-5.
Yep.
The Avs were just a little bit better in this one.
It's I think what sums up, like, understanding that Vegas is a good team is the Avs led a significant portion of this game by 2 goals. And it never really felt fully comfortable up by 2. Now, I get some of that is probably understanding that times this year the Avs have blown some of those leads.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking for myself, that's never something that I've been that concerned about with this Colorado team this year, even with the blown leads.
Yeah.
And this one, you're getting that third period going, I would like the Avs to get a third goal here.
Yeah, and I mean, they trended in the right direction, but I think the big thing, they're trending in the right direction with those third periods. You know, I thought the...
Mm-hmm.
You look at the third period in, and obviously it's a different situation, different game, the Winnipeg game.
But they've just been more consistent and solid. Yeah.
Don't let them build something.
Yep.
And goaltending plays a huge role in that
it does,
where you're like, hey, because every night you go in, you just ask your goaltender, you say, hey, nothing free. If a guy makes a great shot, they make a great play. Defense breaks it down. You know, but Georgiev's not giving them free. Aiden Hill gives up a complete freebie.
Yep.
Ends up being the game winner. It sucks that his team can't do anything to help him out. But, like, gives up a totally free one. Sets the tone for the game. And the Avs just take advantage of it.
I felt pretty comfortable just after that first 10 minutes with Georgiev in net. And some of the stops he had to make that for the rest of the game, I was like, pretty lax that he was on his, you know, he was just on his game tonight. So you felt pretty good going into
it. And to be honest with you, any game where team-wide you play as solid defensively as they did when you don't have Cale Makar, you're really putting your goaltender in a good position.
Well, I think it's a little of a, and the couple of
breakdowns that they did have, Georgiev bails them out.
Again, in those first 10 minutes, that Carlson chance cutting through the middle is... Georgiev makes a really good save
on
that.
For me, that was their best scoring chance of the game.
Yeah.
And it all just, it's a positive feedback loop, right? Georgiev makes a save like that. All of a sudden, his defense trusts him more. His defense starts playing better. That gives Georgiev an easier time, and everyone's vibing.
Confidence is a feedback loop.
Yep.
Because when you get that confidence, you see the improved results. It gives you more confidence. You see the improved results. It gives you more confidence.
Yep.
And now you're Bo and Byram.
He's got some swagger for sure.
The defense tonight too, man. They played awesome. Their active sticks tonight was unreal too. They stopped a lot of stuff coming into the zone.
It's time and time again. AJ, I know you talk about this all the time. When the Avs defense is at their best, they're not even letting the other team get in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I think, goes even a step further. When they're defending well in zone, the way they like to defend, means that the puck never gets to the guy who's going to shoot it. Mm-hmm. They're in the passing lanes. They break it up before it can be dangerous.
Yeah.
And then they're the other way.
Where they might give up, like ozone time with possession. But then you look at the actual shots that are getting generated. And it's funny because high danger chances are just considered like shots from
based on location.
Exactly. And not situation.
Yeah.
So there are going to be some high danger chances that you give up where you're like, this really wasn't
actually that scary. Yeah.
Like it's around the net, but Georgiev is there. It's sealed. It's closed down.
Yep.
And defensively, like you took away options to move the puck from beyond there. And they really do a good job sealing off a lot of the dangerous stuff. You know, we saw there were a couple of great defensive plays by multiple forwards defensively. And we always talk about, you know, the value of Lekkonen and Nichushkin and when he comes back, Gabe Landeskog, as two-way players, as guys where they really, really do a wonderful job is when they're locked in defensively and they're helping their defense move pucks out and win battles, they're all very efficient as a group. And they are a different brand of suffocating than the more physical defenses are because they just don't allow opportunities. Whereas the more physical defenses like a Tampa Bay, they want to muck and grind and they want to get into a back alley brawl in front of the net and they want to block shots and they want to scrap a little bit.
Beat the crap out of you.
And the Avs like to be very disruptive and ruin teams' rhythm and flow where it's like, okay, you might win a foot race, but now you're resetting your offensive possession with a guy who's on the wall with the puck and a forward bearing down on him. He has no dangerous options from that point. And we saw a lot of that tonight from Vegas's offense where the middle of the ice just is not exploited very much, where Bruce Cassidy thinks he still has the Bruins. You know, where he doesn't have a David Pastrnak or Brad Marchand to break into the middle of the ice and do something special from that position that he likes to get his teams in with the system that he runs offensively. And I think it's why I'm not afraid of Vegas this year, because they don't have the kind of high-end talent to really exploit that system against how the Avalanche like to play
defensively.
Certainly
without Stone.
Because you look at the difference between the Pete DeBoer Vegas Golden Knights and now the Pete DeBoer Dallas Stars. Those are teams that get on you physically. They punish you physically. They play a heavier, more punishing, grinded-out style. Cassidy's team still play that way. They still want to forecheck hard. Everybody obviously wants to forecheck hard. But get in and be physical, whatever, whatever. But Vegas stays on the outside, and the way that they play either relies on multiple puck touches or a special player doing something.
Individual effort.
A special individual effort. So when Colorado's defense is locked in the way that it was in this game, Georgiev's job is easier, and Georgiev helps them out. No second chances, no fat rebounds. He's not kicking pucks all over the place. Pucks aren't hitting the back of his glove and popping out. There's no second chances. That unpredictable, chaotic nature around the net is really removed from the game plan because Georgiev's so calm, and he just swallows pucks up. Well, that's it. Puck gets near him, disappears. And it just never, you know, when a guy has a shutout, it's impossible to be like, look what he did here. You know, like he was fantastic.
The chat's talking about the defense, so let's talk about the defense. The impact of Jack Johnson, not that he did anything incredibly special tonight, but played solid defense, plays 19 minutes in the lineup in a spot for a guy who's playing sub-10. Pretty regularly. How much of a difference does that make for Colorado's legs on the defensive side?
It helps.
It helps. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all we got.
Makes life easier.
Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, it does. I'm not sure what you want from us on this one because it just really does. Like you go from, hey, you're playing 11-7, you're rotating guys out, you're trying to figure it all out, right? And then you got guys that you don't really trust playing 9 minutes here and another guy you don't really trust playing 10 minutes. And Now you have a defense where you're just like, hey, we're going to plug this guy in. He's going to do his thing.
And really, they had a five-guy rotation. Johnson played 19-19. All of Byram, Taze, Manson, and Gerard played over 20.
Yeah.
And then Hunt with just under 10. So,
you know, and you're looking, you're like, hey, you're maybe another week away from Cale Makar taking those minutes. And
then having them evenly spread out is huge.
And then when Nick Jensen becomes an av later this week, like, then you're home free, baby. But you look at, this is the top team in the West.
Yeah.
And you look at the collective effort by the Avalanche in a game that they don't have Cale Makar.
And
you know, and hey, Vegas doesn't have Mark Stone, but they're not getting him back anytime soon.
Yep.
Mark Stone may be done for the year.
Yeah.
And they have to figure out that this Vegas team, this what we saw tonight, that Vegas team has to try and figure out how to either hold off the Avalanche for that top seed, hold off Dallas for that top seed, or what they're going to do. What solutions do they come up with in a head-to-head matchup against these guys? Because so far this year, that coaching change might have worked for them on a bigger basis, but in a head-to-head basis, in a head-to-head situation, the Colorado Avalanche are built to swallow up Vegas and spit them out.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing.
Bro, I understand.
Brad Hunt doing it.
I saw it and it just blew right past.
Yeah. I do want to add on top of this, minute leader for the Avs tonight is Bowen Byram at 25 minutes.
Okay.
As it should be.
When Makar comes back, are you seriously considering trying Makar and Byram? You have to give that guy more runway, right?
Or do you just, are you saying put them on the same line? Or are you saying give them the same amount of minutes?
I ask one of the two?
A quick follow-up?
Yeah.
Have you traded for another defenseman?
Does it matter?
Yeah.
I don't know that it does.
In my world.
I know, here comes the Nick Jensen Bowen Byram pairing.
In my world, if they get Nick Jensen, which is just, let me just clarify, this is like my fantasy here, right? Washington is selling. Nick Jensen is a perfect stylistic fit. He's what Devon Taves was when they traded for him, except he's 32 years old. Like he is a wonderful fit, and he plays on the right side.
Yeah.
To me, I'm like, I would rather have Nick Jensen than even a healthy Eric Johnson. Sorry. I just would. But
I don't think that's even that close.
It's not for me. Because if they were to do that, then I'm putting Byram and Jensen together, and I think I have two top pairings, just me personally. But if there's no other addition, that's why I ask. If there's no other addition, and this is the defense they roll with the rest of the regular season, and they just wait for EJ to get healthy, I do want to spend the rest of the regular season giving Makar and Byram burn. You know what you have with Taves and Makar. You know you can always put them back together. You know that they've been a top 10 pairing once again this season. You understand that those guys at any point, like with Mikko and Nate, you can go back to it if you need, and there's something special there that you can get out of it. I would 100% try to get, I would give it a look with Byron Makar and Taves Gerard.
I'm all the way in on
maybe Taves Manson, depending on which game I'm in. But I'm open for that conversation.
Sure. You can get to that.
And at that point, you use Devon Taves the way that Sam Gerard has been used so frequently in his Avalanche tenure.
Yep.
As the guy that moonlights on other pairings.
Just bounce around.
To try and steal shifts with the lower other. You know, you put a Devon Taves next to a Jack Johnson to get, hey, we feel if Jack makes a big mistake here,
well, it's
not Brad Hunt on the other side.
It also
it's Devon Taves.
It gives you that flexibility to move the hot hand up and down the lineup as you want, because you can flex that guy literally wherever. But my point being, not that this comes to a surprise as anyone on this podcast, but it's pretty clear Bowen Byram is like stepping into the spotlight a little bit here.
It's his time.
Yeah.
This is, well, and you know, and I feel like passionately about this because I super called my shot over the summer with Byram.
You did.
but I think that with Byram, he is stepping into this. It's his time. If there's one like blessing in disguise here with this Makar stuff, it's other than it does not appear to be super serious like it was with Byram, you know, for 2 years. Yeah. We had to deal with that.
Yep.
Well, with Byram, I'm looking at it and just saying, this is fantastic. This is such a high level of play. I mean, in a game like this, you're talking about two of the heaviest hitters that you expect. This could have been a conference final preview tonight. And the best defenseman in this entire game on either side of the puck is Bowen Byram. And you've got Alec Martinez scored a Stanley Cup winning goal. You know, Shea Theodore is phenomenal.
Yep.
And
Petrangelo's no slouch.
Yeah. Alex Petrangelo's had a pretty good career himself. And you're talking about Bowen Byram outshined all of them. Devon Taves is a top eight defenseman in the NHL on his own merit. And you're talking about Bowen Byram is what we have seen from him is absurd and just extremely impressive.
Blaze, I'm going to give you three defensemen. You have to pick one. Quinn Hughes, Adam Fox, Bowen Byram.
Oh, Bowen Byram right now. Just the upside of it. I mean, you could say Fox, too.
Yeah. I'm picking Fox.
You're picking Fox? I just, like, again, this goes back to the first year Byram played. I was hot on him then, too.
Yep. So
we just knew that he had some defensive growing into it. Like, the offensive has always been there. He just was in bad spots positionally, right, on defense. Now, I just think every year you've just seen it, as long as he can stay healthy.
The
health is for real.
One of the things about Byram that I think from his draft year that has been so impressive was the questions about his defense were always there because and it was not unlike Makar during his draft year.
Sure.
You wanted to know how good of a defender he was going to be because he always had the damn puck.
Best defenses. Don't give it to the other team.
Remember Bowen Byram's draft year, he scores 22 goals.
Yeah.
He becomes the first defenseman in WHL history
to lead his team in playoffs.
To lead the postseason in scoring.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like, he was absolutely unbelievable offensively, and so we didn't know what he looked like defensively.
Did Makar same thing in college?
Yeah, and then when Byram hit the NHL, you remember his first 18 games, he has 2 assists.
Yeah.
So, but you look at his defensive metrics, and he was very, very good. And you're like, oh my gosh, what is this?
And then he shows up his second year, the most confident human being alive.
And then the big thing that should have provided everybody with... it should have prevented everybody has a Bowen Byram comment from being made in earnest over the summer.
You just can't let that one go.
I'll never let it go because a smart person said something real dumb. And so it will live forever for me. But it was with Byram, the improvement as the stage got bigger, as life got harder.
Yeah.
He got more and more into it.
Yeah.
And that is an extremely rare trait in a player his age. And just in somebody in general.
Yep.
You're not talking about a guy that's meeting a moment. You're talking about a guy that
exceeds
is
it.
Hungry
yep.
for that moment to do something special. He is Bowen Byram is super here.
So let me put it to you this way. You say you take Adam Fox.
I would.
Now take a team that already has Cale Makar on it.
I want Bowen Byram.
Well, okay.
And I think that's why this is such a match made in heaven. Because Bowen Byram like fits into all the puzzle pieces that Cale Makar doesn't.
It's more like Bowen Byram or Miro Heiskanen for me.
That's a good
Rasmus Dahlin.
Good call.
Because Byram has a ways to go to catch those guys just in terms of proving it over the longer stretch. Yeah. But Byram has accomplished more than those cats because he led the Stanley Cup final in even strength ice time.
He was arguably the best
fantastic.
Player.
Fantastic.
Yeah. In that whole cup run.
He was you go back and watch Bowen Byram in the Tampa Bay in the Stanley Cup final, and you will see something you may never see again, which is a 20-year-old defenseman outplaying
dominating
a bunch of guys that are going to the Hall of Fame. Like, Victor Hedman and Cale Makar are going to be in the Hall of Fame someday, and you go back and watch that series, and you're going to be like, so Bowen Byram just kind of outplays all these guys?
At 20?
At 20, yeah, exactly, man. Like, he's so special. And tonight, trying to bring this back around to tonight's game, but he was the best, to me, he was the best defenseman in the game.
Yeah.
And that's no Devon Taves slander at all, who I thought was also awesome.
All right. Well, I can tell you one player you don't want to be like tonight. Phil Kessel. If you accidentally get run into by your own teammate like Phil Kessel did, call Bacchus and Shanker. at 222-2222 to see if you have an injury case.
Are you an Avs player that's played against Vegas at any point in the last 12 years?
If Keegan Kolesar is within 100 feet of you, get ready to dial a bunch of twos.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, if you have been in an injury situation that's not your fault, whether it's a car accident, motorcycle, even if it's a rideshare situation, if it's something that happened to you at work, Bacchus and Schenker has your back. You can call them. It's completely free to get a consultation. If they think you have a case, they'll take you on, and they'll do all that work for completely free, too. You don't have to pay them anything until you win your case. So they will take care of you. It's not like you need money up front or anything like that. And they're really good at what they do. They've won over $1 billion for their clients over the last 25 years here in Colorado.
They can buy the next expansion franchise.
Phil Kessel could probably use him right now because of Bo Byram's hit. Like, that was three people collision. Like, who's at fault
there? Yeah, that's true. You got to sort out who's got to pay who, whose insurance, you know?
Who instigated, you know? Is this a teammate-on-teammate crime? Yeah.
Go check them out. Press two for a while, or go to coloradolaw.net to get a hold of Bacchus and Schenker. Also brought to you by the amazing people over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Got a little pick of the week here for you. We did this. I did this already with the Nuggets. One week I said take Jokic to win the playoff MVP. Now I'm going to do it with McKinnon. Take McKinnon to win a Conn Smythe this year. That's where I'm going. No?
Nope.
Who's it going to be?
Georgiev.
You think? You think it's goalie town?
I do.
I don't hate it. I think if Georgiev plays well enough to win the Conn Smythe, the Avs are definitely going back-to-back. I'll put it that way.
If he wins the Conn Smythe, the Avs win the cup.
Not necessarily.
Or he has the greatest postseason run that will result in a loss.
Or he's Jaguar.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's true. Oh, shit. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Either way, go on to DraftKings. You can pick your Conn Smythe winner. You can go into other sports as well. I don't know anything about the XFL and the USFL, so don't ask me how to bet on those sports.
All I know is that if you want to try and come back on a team, you can have a 4th and 15.
Yeah, you just...
And just keep the ball.
Instead of a onside kick. Yeah. You just have to make a 4th and 15.
Yeah.
I wonder what the odds percentages are. I'm sure they're better than an onside kick because onside kicks are like zero. But
we're getting closer to my
no kicking allowed.
No kicking in football will make the sport in just immeasurably better.
So are you just going to start a league called the NKL? No kicking league? Yeah.
It makes more sense than football.
You have to change the name from football.
I mean, it should be anyway.
Clearly, I mean, that's why they called it football, because you kick the ball.
As we all know, it should be called hand egg.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody knows it should be called hand egg.
The National Hand Egg League. If DNVR wins the lottery, I'm starting the National Hand Egg League.
The NHL?
NHEL. It's fine. It would be good. Anyway, DraftKings, use the DNVR code when you sign up with a new account. You get $5 bet on anything. You get $200 in free bets. So if you want to bet on stupid like the 4th and 15 in the XFL, you have a free bet to do it with. Why not? Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes down below for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period.
Void in Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Void in Ohio.
Good catch.
Stupid Ohio.
I've heard this ad read about fucking
15. Yeah. He's got every sentence down. Second period of this podcast, second period of the game, getting back into it. Look, I'll put you on the spot. Does Mikko get to 50?
Yes.
Yeah, obviously.
Does he get to 55?
I don't know. I only shot my shot with 50.
55. I'll go 55. is this a game we're playing? Who will go higher?
56?
Anyone got 56?
Not trying to price is right, you man.
Gonna get a 56, gonna get a 57, gonna get a 57. Gonna get a 58. Oh, man in the red shirt.
So obviously 50 would be special just because 50 goal mark is a big deal. Yeah. But Avs record for goals in a season is 54 by Joe Sakic. Mm-hmm. Franchise record is 57 by Michel Goulet. So those are some of the numbers that Mikko would be trying to track down.
Chasing a 100-point season, too.
Yeah. He is doing that. It's Mac also looking very likely to get his 100-point season.
Not going very likely, but they're both chasing.
All right. Whatever you want to say about it.
I can't go through that pain again.
Yeah, another 99er.
Another 98-99 finish. Watching game 82 yeah. where Nathan MacKinnon just takes 17 shots on goal.
Actively feeding him.
Yeah. Yep.
You know it eats at him too.
he wants it, I'm sure. But
guys set goals for themselves. They might not tell you, but they're looking at that too.
They usually, when I ask that question in the preseason, what kind of goals have you set for yourself? They usually just, you're right, they don't tell.
No, they'll it's, be like, oh, it's, no, we're going to play a good team. You well, know, whatever
they'll be
comes.
Like, they'll be like, I have them, but I'm not telling you what they are.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, yeah, they'll okay. just be like, look, I've got, that's between me and God kind of yeah, thing. And you're yeah. like, all right, well, in McCarr's case, he is God, so whatever.
So they're just talking to him.
Between me and me.
Exactly, me and the guy in the mirror.
anyway. Miko is our king of the game, not just because of the goals, although he does score two of them to get to 40 on the night.
In a game where he scores the only non-empty net goal.
Yeah, you're right. Both. I mean, the first one was empty. The net was pretty empty.
This feels pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Georgiev.
Obviously, Georgiev with a shutout. Like, it's like this was definitely the case for the King and the Prince.
Yep.
Look, if I controlled this pod, it would have been Georgiev. But I don't, so...
Both of them could have deserved it.
Next game, if you want to give them the post-game headline and you want to take control and you want to do all the things that I do every game.
Yeah, I take that back. That's a great call, King of the Game, right there. Great job.
It would just be like, Gary, fucking rules. Let's fucking go.
No, there really is no wrong answer between those two. Let's be real on this one. I know some people were like, Georgiev has to be the king of the game. And it's like, you're right, but also Miko.
It's just when you get that shutout, right? Like, it's just like one of those things where it's almost an automatic, but I can see where Miko comes in here.
Totally.
Here's the thing that's impressive about Miko here is we've seen that guy for this last stretch of wins post-All-Star break be Nathan MacKinnon for Colorado, the guy who gets him off to the good start. He's pumping him all game long. This time
he's been so good,
right? He's been unreal, and then on a night where maybe MacKinnon doesn't have his A+ game, not saying he played poorly, but he didn't have his best game today.
Yeah.
Miko's just like, I got this. Let me get in there. Let me take care of business and just beat a hockey team.
Yep. And this is where you're like, look, you throw Gabe Landeskog and Cale Makar into this lineup, and now the fact that the Avs can beat you like this is.
Yeah, my goodness.
Good luck, Western Conference.
There aren't enough superlatives to count it all in. Do want to get a little bit further into this second goal, though, because it's a beautiful feed by JT Compher.
Yeah.
That's his 41st point of the season. Did he get any points the other night against Calgary? I'd have to go back and check. Maybe even more than that. Either way, he's well beyond his career high before this year. Okay.
If he did, he got to 40 that night. I don't know.
He was definitely on 40 before that night, okay. I checked. Yeah. But
he was a 40 then.
So are we realistically moving into a world where JT Compher is the 2C? I know we can't predict the future with the trade deadline, but can this guy be this valuable to Colorado down the stretch, or is it something you should maybe not count on?
We had this discussion during the watch along.
We did.
I think he's serviceable there.
Yeah. Serviceable, but no more.
If you can go get somebody else, go do it.
I feel like there's this is two conversations of you give him credit. He's been great this year.
Absolutely.
Look, never pass on making your team better if a guy's out there. Yeah. Totally. Understand that.
He's been great this year. He's the best internal option that they have. He just is. Do you trust it? That's a your mileage may vary conversation. And for me, the answer is no, I don't trust it.
Yeah. Well, did you see, what was Drew, whatever his last name is, put that thing out, does the Maple Leafs have the best line of centers down their lineup right now?
If they wanted to.
If they put them at center,
because right now, they're playing Roar at center and...
Yeah.
The traitorous swine on the left wing. So, which is another option.
Yeah.
And that's where the Avs don't need to make that choice because they're so good at wing that if you go and get the 2C, you go and get a bona fide 2C, a guy who's done the job, a guy that you trust. You move JT to 3C, and that's not an indictment of JT. It's a way to make your third line that much better, especially with the way that JT, his entire career, has been very defensively responsible. A little overrated on a PK, but at 5v5 has been a positive defensive player his whole career.
Yep.
Like you're talking about, this is a good defensive player. So you really are... You make your lineup... It's not so much about this guy versus that guy. It's, is your lineup better if JT Compher is your 3C with Evan Rodriguez on his right side and Alex Newhook on his left side? And, you know, your Adam Henrique, Max Domi, Kevin Hayes,
pick your
whatever,
guy.
Whatever the name ends up being, Boone Jenner, as your second line center. Are you better that way than with just hanging out with JT?
Yeah.
Because you make the trade for the 2C, you're not pulling a guy off your NHL roster to do it. That's a no-go for the Avs. Yeah. You're not making that deal. You're saying, I'm not touching my NHL roster to do this. And so if you are, it's like Ben Myers kind of thing.
It's a move that just objectively makes your lineup deeper.
Exactly.
Right?
Where you slot that guy in, and then JT moves down one.
Sure.
And you look at your whole lineup just ate the Mario mushroom.
Yeah.
Because those guys all then move down, then you do move Logan O'Connor and Andrew Cogliano back down to a fourth line.
Yeah. And that's a pretty dope lineup.
Exactly. And then you're saying, okay, well, what's the 4C question? And, you know, then you're, is Darren Helm healthy? Is Gabe Landeskog in this lineup?
Right,
like,
right.
Like, what are all the, you know, do you want to go and get a 4C just because you can? You know, do you, like, if you were going to get greedy and say, hey, we're going to go get Lars Eller to be that guy, then you're like, well, now you've got a wildly overqualified fourth line center. Yeah. You know, so you can have these different conversations about the different machinations for the deadline, but that should be the focus of it's not. Is it like a, you've done a disservice to your roster if it's JT Compher is your 2C in game one? No, the guy's had that kind of year, and whoever gives him $5 million this summer will be believing that he's going to take the Andrew Kopp next step into a bona fide top six player for them. And he might for a few years. He's right in that heart right now where guys have those career years. But it's so tough for me to just totally buy. For me, the answer, I don't trust it. But you see the chemistry that he's developed next to Mikko.
Yep.
Where they were on the Colorado's first line in December playing together, you know. Now they're on the second line with the guys getting, you know, with the lineup getting healthier. And you can't deny that they continue to vibe together, that they play off each other well.
Well, and here's the thing.
You have a playmaker next to a guy who could be on his way to a 50-goal season.
Well, and there's no reason in a world where the Avs go out and get a 2C, if Compher's hot one night, throw him back up there with Mikko for some shifts. Like, you don't have to stop doing good things just because you go out and get another hockey player.
Right. Well, and you have 2A, 2B, basically, because the trust is there with the coaching staff, too. Like, don't forget that, right? Having that trust in your third and fourth lines means everybody's playing time gets just distributed the right way.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you don't worry about issues going into the playoffs, long runs, guys getting worn out so much because they have that trust in the full lineup.
And look, if Darren Helm gets healthy, then you're talking and you add a 2C, then down your lineup, you are having this conversation of where does Darren Helm fit? Where does Matt Nieto fit? Where does Dennis Malgin fit? Your depth is suddenly in a position of strength for you where if a guy gets hurt, you can, between Alex Newhook, JT Compher, and Evan Rodriguez, you have three guys capable of playing skill games that can move up a lineup if a top six guy gets hurt. And there, you'll also have the Nieto and Malgin and even Ben Myers, guys who have been fine for you in bottom six roles this year if one of those guys gets hurt.
Yeah.
Like, you make that one move and you just get a little bit better everywhere.
Yep.
It's not just, hey, your 2C job is done here. And somebody tweeted at me tonight that 2C is a luxury. And it absolutely is not.
No.
Center depth is one of the most consistent traits amongst Stanley Cup winning teams. You look at where has the money gone in Tampa Bay? Why are they broke now? Because they kept the centers. They kept Braden Point. They kept Steven Stamkos. They kept Anthony Cirelli. Now, over time, they've had to maybe move, you know, Stamkos plays a lot of wing now because they've hemorrhaged Andre Palat and Tyler Johnson and those guys. But down the middle, if you are good defensively and you are good at center, you will compete for Stanley Cups.
Like, raising your low end is important, but truly making a difference requires raising of your high end. And if you don't want your high to end, make sure you hit up Jive Hive. JiveHyve.com today. It's a virtual dispensary, which you can order your weed from, and they'll deliver it directly to your door. So you don't even have to get off the couch to get your weed. You can order it ASAP, so they bring it to you right away. Or if you have a thing planned, if you want to schedule it days in advance, you can do that. You can schedule it, and they'll show up at the time you request. So it's a great way to go in and get your weed. You don't have to go into the dispensary. You don't have to deal with talking to people. None of that. Just visit jivehive.com, JiveHyve.com, and get it delivered the same day. They'll say hi when they stop by. they do only deliver to certain areas, so when you go to their website, make sure you put your address in. They now serve Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument, Fountain, and various areas of El Paso County at jivehive.com. Also brought to you by the American Raptors. If you didn't know, they've joined the Columbia Rugby Federation. It's an intercontinental competition featuring six teams from South America. The Raptors are the only North American team in the competition. They're playing six matches at home, six matches on the road, and you can go see their home matches for completely free. If you want to stay up with all the news on the Raptors, you can follow DNVR Rugby on Twitter. Colton Strickler does amazing work there. Whether you're a longtime fan, he has tons of interviews. If you're a new fan, he's got one-on-one pods. So got it completely covered on that front if you want to hit up the American Raptors. Infinity Park at Glendale, just an amazing place to go check out and have a day. If you haven't, highly recommend you get in on it. Totally free, again. So might as well jump in on it. You can also stream Raptors games at AmericanRaptors.com. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Honestly, a pretty clinical third period from Colorado. I think Vegas got their first shot on goal about 8 minutes into the period. Avs really just didn't give them anything and suffocated a hockey team with a two-goal lead. Are the Avs back to this team again? We saw plenty of it last season. Is this version of the Avs capable of doing this on a regular basis?
Have they formed a Voltron? Is that what you're asking?
Guess that's what I'm asking.
They are missing the sword right now.
Makar's the sword, huh?
Well, there's a sword and maybe a large...
Landy's the heart.
Oh, it's not the appendage?
No. No, that's Byram.
Is that Byram or Makar?
That's Byram.
Okay.
Makar's the sword. Byram's the other sword.
I mean,
sword.
Yeah, you look at this and if they can stay healthy and the guys that are now skating again, looking like they're on, you know, basically track to get back into the game, you got to be feeling real good about this Avs team looking like they did last year.
It's interesting because I do think they are a different team from last year and you should expect some differences, but that doesn't change the ability to play true shutdown, don't give up anything hockey when they have a lead.
Do you think it's changed from that standpoint of like doing shutdown hockey though? I still think they have that in
no,
them.
No, I still think they have that in them and I still think it's something they want to do. It's just nice to see them finally getting back to it a little bit.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing.
AJ's having a giggle over here about the TV.
I see what
TV.
It is. Yeah. No, I don't want to be mean.
Anyway, it's really nice to see Colorado put wins together like this.
Yeah.
Where there isn't a whole lot to nitpick. You're not digging through this game and saying, oh, this was bad, that was bad. Yeah. It wasn't perfect. There's never a perfect game.
I do want to touch kind of on that third period. Are they back to this?
Sure.
Like, no. Like, it was one game, you know?
Yeah, and I don't disagree.
In the same way that you would look at any of the times where they blew a lead. Like, they blew a lead, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you know? You're right.
And hey, that was
was three back-to-backs ago.
That's a really, really good Tampa Bay team. Like, those are, you know, that's a real good Tampa team and, you know, whatever. But, you know who makes the postseason? Like, good teams. So I will say, like, it's a building block. And it's what we talked about earlier. confidence is a feedback loop. This should feed into, hey, this is a better third period. We've got this in the bag where it's not like they get outshot, 13-4, and you're just like, well, Georgiev, am I right? They play a good quality third, and it's something to build from. But this is a team that you want to see two areas of their game that I want to see over the last 20 games of the season that have been problematic for them most of this season that you want to see them continue to get better in: third periods and your penalty kill. Those are the two
check
things.
And check.
Yeah. And those are, and hey, if you're only going to take one penalty, great.
Yeah.
The best PK is not going on it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you want to see those areas of the game where, okay, as you're getting better, like, look, we should be done having are the Avs going to make the postseason panic? Like, that freak out should be finished. They're healthy enough that this version of the team is very obviously equipped. They've beaten all these teams. Several weeks ago, it was fair to wonder how they were going to handle all the back-to-backs and then all the games against direct competitors. Can we agree as a group here with the 25 games remaining that we're done talking about, if they make the postseason, they're headed there?
Yeah, I've seen some crazy guy on Twitter talking about like the percentages of them getting into the playoffs.
I had to switch to winning the division because the playoff one is just above 95%.
Yeah. And so now you're chasing a division title. You survived what you hope is the worst of the injuries. And now you're like, okay, well,
let's see what we really have.
We've got 25 games to make up 2 points to win the division and get one of these really mediocre wildcard teams.
Yep.
We've got 25 games to make up 3 points and chase down the top seed out west, where we have home ice until the Stanley Cup final.
Yep.
Like, and you know what? I'm not going to put it out of the realm that the Avs chase down some of these Eastern teams where they might even have home cup for a Stanley Cup final.
I think they can chase down everyone but Boston.
I think that they've got a chance to chase down maybe one Boston, obviously,
and Carolina,
and maybe one other in Carolina. Yeah,
unless they just shut it down. But they can't really.
You're talking about, this is a team that it has put this thing into gear, and if they get appreciably better the rest of this week, they do make a meaningful move. They get better. You're the best team in the West. You can already feel that way, regardless of what the standings say today. The second that they got healthy-ish and started to get out of their own way a little bit, the whole thing has come together. They're the A team, and Joe Sakic and Chris McFarland are, they're sitting there with a cigar. I love it when a plan comes together. Like, they're watching this team do their thing. And this is what they expected. And they had to fight through that adversity. That adversity only made them better.
Yeah.
And we can say that because they're coming out of it. And they didn't handle themselves like last year's Vegas team, where it was like crawling through a field of broken glass every day. That team didn't like each other. They had no chemistry. They didn't like the head coach. They had locker room problems all up and down everything. This is a team that plays for one another again. And that makes them the most dangerous team in the NHL. On top of all the talent, they get it. They have the maturity. They walk the walk better than anybody in the Western Conference. They're the most talented. And now they're getting amongst that health. And they're doing this without Cale Makar. Should scare the shit out of everybody else. If you're Dallas and you're thinking about mortgaging your future, you're not.
You better think twice.
Yeah. Winnipeg has to. Winnipeg has to take this seriously. Vegas has to take this seriously.
They're at the end of the line.
Because they don't have a lot of shots. They don't have a lot of kicks at the can left, realistically, with this group. Edmonton has to take this seriously, but they have no money.
Yep.
The Avalanche should scare
everybody.
The shit out of everybody. Even Eastern Conference teams, everybody's loading up and they have a long way to go before they ever have to worry about Colorado in a postseason series. But if you're trying to tell me that they're not going to consider the Avalanche in their planning, they'd be making a mistake.
I guarantee you every East Coast team, when they look at the playoff bracket, is going to be rooting against Colorado.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and the other thing that the Avs have done right here too, right, is like Chris McFarland sees what's going on with the play that the Avs have done. Basically, it was like, we're legit, we're for real, we're going back, basically is what they're saying. So does that kind of light a fire under your ass to, like, do I shore up some of these issues that we kind of see?
This is why I say it's irresponsible if they do nothing else.
Yeah.
Because you are looking at it, and we always hear every year, we hear general managers, guys who have been fired, yeah. Brian Burks and Craig Buttons of the world that are in media now, and they will talk about it, and they'll say, you know, they'll say things like, look, I owe it to these guys. They've put themselves in a position where I believe they can do something special here. I owe it to them to give them one more guy, yeah. to give them one more piece, to give them one more whatever. And for me, I know we have tomorrow's off day pod that I'll save a lot of this for, but I love the Tanner Jeannot deal for Tampa
Bay.
Yeah,
we're going to talk a lot
about it. It's very expensive, and you can say, what in the world? But Tampa Bay lives in a certain ecosystem of championship only.
Yeah.
That accountability, that level of expectation, that's now yep. in Colorado. That's today.
Yep.
Yep.
I love prospects. I love the draft. I love watching these kids develop and who's going to be good and who's not going to be good. Those first round picks for the next 5 years are more valuable to the Avalanche at trade deadline than they are being used one single time.
I agree.
One single time. They are more valuable. If they paid two first round picks right now for Nick Schmaltz, I would love that deal. If it was three, it would hurt.
If there's
and I might cry a little bit, and I might ask one or two of them to be conditional, but then they would have Nick Schmaltz.
If there's three, it better be half retained.
So you're talking they Chris McFarland, these guys, this is the kind of win. And Wednesday with another measuring stick game, because you have a team that beat you 1-0 on the road earlier this year. You don't like getting swept by anybody in the world.
Yeah.
You want to continue to improve at home, but you've got New Jersey coming in off a big acquisition, feeling sexy, feeling good about themselves. You want to put them down yep. and continue to build build yourself up. That's another litmus test, because you say, hey, they're the fourth best team out east right now. Just spitballing. Let's just say they're
just
the
pick
fourth.
A number, yeah.
And you say, okay, where do we match up? You know, if they come in and they smoke the Avs, we're all going to be like, hey, it's one game. That's a really good team. They just made a big deal. Emotionally, they're on a high, you know, whatever, whatever. That's our storyline if they get smoked. I can already tell you that right now. But you do have to be like, that sucked. And it may be, okay, that's the fourth best team in the West, in the East, and they just did that to us? That's, all right. We
gotta
have work to do.
Step up a little bit there.
We have work to do. So for me, I'm looking at it, and I'm saying this is another feather in the cap of go do something. You owe it to them to try and maximize the rest of this season. You're talking about, oh, well, the future and the window, and most of these guys are signed for that. You're going to have most of these guys. And you go get a guy like Nick Schmaltz, that guy's signed for 3 years.
Yeah.
Kevin Hayes is signed for 3 years. His name's not been out there, and I know some people keep talking about it, but Matt Duchene is signed for 3 years. Like, you go and get somebody with some term, you're done with your top six. What are you trying to draft? What do you need help with?
Hopefully nothing, because they won't have anything left. So
it's you know, like, you're looking at this, you're looking at this performance tonight just as another, that's the best team in the West. My ass. The best team in the West won this hockey game.
Yeah. Agree. We do got to get things wrapped up here, though, so we got some super chats to get to. $2 from Kevin, who says, the Moose and Mac attack, FVGK.
Well said.
Dude.
Why did we do a 50-minute show when we could have just said that?
Landeskog was unreal tonight. Landeskog.
Rantanen
was crazy tonight.
$10 from Nate, who says, always enjoy watching Vegas lose. Fun times watching with you guys from Alaska.
Nice.
Made up time zones up there where it's still light out.
About to get a team in the tourney.
Yeah, maybe. $5 from the Schick, who says, I know this probably isn't the time, but I'm curious what you guys think Bo's contract will look like. It's too hard to say, because if they go short term, it's probably going to be pretty cheap just because he won't have the games played.
Yeah.
But if they want to lock him up long term, who knows what that thing ends up looking like.
His deal is a lot tougher than Newhook's, yeah. which Newhook should be right around 3 years.
It's a pretty easy bridge.
At about 3.4.
Yeah. $2, excuse me, from Chris. When Landy and Makar comes back, another ship. I hope so. $5 from Eugene, who says, Miko makes the game look easy slow, playing moose speed. Mooses are pretty fast. I mean, it's true. They can run, what, like 40 miles an hour or something?
They get going, man.
Yeah.
And they're just unstoppable. Just like Miko was tonight.
Straight up.
Yeah. It's crazy because, you see, this is what makes the Avalanche special. They have that elite talent that takes games over. Where's the elite talent on Vegas? Because Jack Eichel hasn't lived up to it. Mark Stone's hurt. If they had Mark Stone, I'd feel differently. But Mark Stone's hurt, and he may not be coming back anytime soon.
Yeah. Yep.
But I don't know if Eichel will ever be what he was. I don't think that that surgery, I think.
The thing is, Eichel is still very good.
Oh, he is very good.
He's just not that guy.
Right. You look at, and he has been unable to elevate them to a different level. He's been unable to elevate himself to a different level.
That doesn't sum up every move Vegas has made.
Yeah. I mean... They are going to be one of the great
what-ifs.
Blew this opportunity, especially with the conference final losses to Montreal and Dallas, the back-to-back.
The Montreal one especially.
Those were the ones that were – those were unacceptable losses in that round, given how talented those teams were. And then Colorado grew up.
And their time ran out?
Yeah, then Colorado grew up and turned into the final boss.
There you go.
And that's where they are right now. They're in their final boss stage of life.
Well, it's the intermission phase of this final boss. We will be back tomorrow, most likely talking about all of the trades that have already happened. But maybe we'll get into some of the Avs conversations and rumors as well. We'll see what happens exactly. But we appreciate all y'all hanging out with us tonight, enjoying the game. We will be back with five. Actually, I think we're live every day this week with something other because of trade deadline.
Yeah, so. We are live every day, much to production chagrin.
Yeah, a lot of people have to work because of us this week. So sorry, but we'll be around. We appreciate you, and we will talk to you tomorrow.